Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Whatever your swag is, a walking stick, wing ding font, I guess the aesthetic there, maybe not so good. We've got you here on Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike, Mike Golic Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And speaking of which, we are on Plus, so make sure when you give a year of ESPN Plus, you're giving thousands of live events, exclusive originals, the full 30 for 30 library, and more. Surprise a sports fan in your life with a year of ESPN Plus. Visit ESPNplus.com/giftayear for more details. It's Monday. Let's go. And this hour, you'll get the big takeaway from the NBA this weekend. And we're talking a lot about the Brooklyn Nets. Are the Brooklyn Nets really legit? So legit that maybe James Harden should be considered MVP. We'll get to the bottom of that in about 10 minutes. And we'll also check in with our girl, our friend, Mina Kimes, a Brooklyn Nets correspondent, ESPN NFL Live co-host and NFL insider and analyst. But Junior, you know, I'm excited because Mina has definitely gone all the way in on the Brooklyn Nets bandwagon.
It's an amazing heel turn she's made now. Nets super fan, Mina Kimes. They're undefeated since she came on as a fan right now. So I feel like she also has claim to the title of good luck charm.
Precisely. Kyrie Irving should think about that. Like, we've got Mina Kimes on our, like, side. Like, we should be good. No stress. But I feel like based on the, you know, so many things are happening, and it all stems really from social media. And I feel like, Junior, normally we are the youngest here at ESPN. We're the young ones in these streets at ESPN and in Disney. But today I feel like we're on our big auntie and uncle energy based on what's happened on social media. So clearly there's a situation with Deion Sanders, head coach of Jackson State, and obviously Hall of Famer when it comes to NFL pedigree. He had to deal with the situation, you know, at Jackson State. So that's one situation that all came through social media. The Timberwolves, their hire took a lot of criticism on social media because of how quickly, you know, the fire happened and the hire happened. There was a lack of transparency there. And now let's get to the man at the center of it all. Based on the young ones, Generation Z, man, I see you guys, and you guys are just a little different when it comes to Cam Newton. Now, in case you missed it, there was a viral video all over social media of a young camper at, you know, the 7-on-7 football tournament where Cam was spending his time. He was coaching his longtime team there through his charitable foundation. And there was a young camper there that was talking trash to Cam Newton himself. Now, look, before we get into our thoughts on what happened in the back and forth, here was Cam and the young man, and this was the back and forth as we saw.
You ass. You're a free agent. You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're about to be poor.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
You're a free agent.
I'm rich.
Where's your daddy at? Let me talk to your dad. Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
Where's your dad?
You're a free agent.
You're
a free agent. You ass.
Talk to him. Where's your dad? Where's your pop?
You ass.
So what you heard right there was Cam Newton sort of being charged by a young man who has since then put out an apology, apologizing for his role in it all, challenging him, saying that you're a free agent and basically having a tone saying that, like, you're less than what we would expect of an NFL star just because you're a free agent. And you've sort of had some, you know, struggles as of late when it comes to his career, as now he's a free agent, parting ways mutually with the Patriots. And then on the other side, Cam Newton saying, oh, like, look, I'm rich. And I feel like, Junior, that it's fair for him to come with that energy, because that's just a cultural, like, all right, we're not going to step back to a back and forth. But he also was very generous and polite, and where, you know, some other people, if you take Cam Newton out and you put someone else in, people would come with a whole different energy. So how much is Cam Newton really, this story, this video, a byproduct of how we talk to and talk about people on social media, or at least when the cameras are rolling?
Yeah, I think that's just it, is the way that this is in some ways about how we consume it on the internet, but also how the internet creates situations like this, because it's given people a different level of confidence when it comes to saying things and believing there won't be repercussions for those things. And we've seen that all across the board today. You brought up some of those examples, and this is a reminder that there are. And in this case, they're comparatively lesser. Like, this kid having to put out an apology and getting a couple of days of mixed pub. I won't even say it's bad pub online, because there are a lot of people that have defended this kid's right to go out here and talk crap like this, saying there's nothing wrong with this and we're all overreacting. But he is learning that there are consequences in this instance. And for a generation that has grown up, like, you and I got Twitter and Instagram and all these social medias that we enjoy now when we were in college. So we were already on our way.
But yeah, you're right.
I got it when I was in college. All right, I forgot about the age gap here. The point is, these kids now in this generation have grown up with it as a part of their lives. And so in the way it was for us at the beginning, I remember when I got it, we thought it was us talking to each other out here. Us yep. just talking to our friends on there. And in some instances, once it started getting bigger, you learned that was going to cause some trouble. And then there was this understanding that people are always watching you. And so, Chanae, I think it's twofold in that regard. I think the internet creates a place where this attitude becomes more accepted, but it also reminds us that people are always watching in a way that, quite frankly, benefits young athletes as much as anybody in this.
Agreed. And I really was disappointed because how do we not know the time and place of where we are, you know, especially when you're young athletes that are, you know, being able to play and in a time where it's hard for anybody to get access to playing. Like for me, it's a whole big shebang for me to get into a gym in this climate now, dealing with COVID, and to now have a place where, all right, like we're all coming together. We're all going to safely play the game that we love. Like there's so much that goes into that, whether it's your parents making the sacrifice for you to be there, whether it's Cam Newton choosing during this time that is difficult for everyone to feel comfortable leaving their family, their friends, and their personal space and health and well-being to come and mix and sort of engage with the youth and show, hey, like I still am stepping into your space because I feel like you guys have the same dreams and aspirations as I did, but I didn't have that person and I'm trying to be that person for you. Like there's so many positives to what was just presented, you know, top athletes coming together and playing 7-on-7 football. Like it just was a great setting, but instead, like you said, the lights, the camera, the action, and even just it being a phone, like a phone being recorded and the young man feeling like he has to put on instead of actually realizing what's right in front of you, which is greatness. Now, I know we challenge that greatness each and every day here at ESPN as we talk about the NFL and we talk about Cam Newton, the top quarterbacks. And yeah, like every athlete has gone through some struggles, but let's not look at the descent or the issues that Cam Newton has had acclimating to a new team in a year that has been extremely challenging this way. Let's talk about the ascent that got him to the position where he can say, I'm rich. I have taken care of my family in a way that produces generational wealth. I am out here still doing what I need to do in the community, even though it's a hard position for me to show my face, because we all athletes, we operate with ego too. Like show your face around to the young kids, knowing that they probably will have questions about how you perform. So there's so many different dynamics at play. And I just think that this was the worst version that I think, you know, Cam stepped with the right energy to sort of quell it, and I'm glad he got his piece out there too.
Chanae Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr., Chanae Igwumike, and I'll say it like this too. Cam Newton didn't have like a Danny Tanner teachable moment where the music, sitcom music started playing in the background and he got down on his knee and he said, you know what, this isn't the way we're supposed to do things. Like Cam just talked a level back to him that most of us saw as restraint, because it could have been a lot more in that setting, because I also assumed that this kid was a lot younger than he actually is from what it sounds like. It sounds like it's a guy who's up there in his mid to late teens at this camp. And so there's also that level of how the discourse could have gone, the restraint in that spot, because you're right, there's a fine line. And I think this is at the crux of all this. Because people listen and say, what is this kid doing? It's harmless. No, the kid's intent was to be disrespectful in this spot. It was to go at Cam in a way that wasn't trash talk or banter. It was to be disrespectful about the place that he saw Cam now at a relative low point in his NFL career. That was the thing that's different in that spot. And that's different than, like you brought up, the fine line that we flirt with all the time around here at times is, how can we be critical without being disrespectful? How can it be analysis in that way and talking about a person without necessarily tearing them down like that in that spot? And what you get on the other side of this, people talk about the lesson. The lesson is a low-stakes reminder that you have eyes on you in this spot, now more than ever. And it's something that I know I learned as a kid because of who my dad was, because of what was going on with Mike and Mike in that show at a time. We knew that if you were acting up in a certain way, you were going to be a reflection of something that was bigger than you. And that transitioned and helped in athletics, because then you go and play football at a place like Notre Dame and you recognize people are going to have eyes on you. And when you've got something to risk, and Chanae, you know this better than anyone, you, your sisters, and what you had not only off the field, the gifts and talents there, but also on the court with the gifts and what you knew was at stake for your career. I'm sure you guys had eyes on you where you were growing up in a way that let you know, I got something at risk. I'm not going to put it in jeopardy with a silly moment like this.
Absolutely. And I think that's why it's equally important to sort of hear how Cam sort of had his own points of view. He was able to get his own video out. And so I feel like it's important for us to play the second clip in which Cam really, you know, extended the conversation with the young man.
We please don't be one-dimensional. Like you said something to me, then I go, well, I'm really trying to talk to you. I'm not trying to like crack no jokes. I'm just really trying to ask a simple question. It's your fault why everybody's looking, but I'm really just trying to ask a question. But you never said what you did. You said you're going to see.
And Junior, that's the moment that I think where he was really trying to reach out and say, hey, like, let's get, like, I can deal with all this trash. I deal with national media talking about me every day, like doing this, you know, dealing with the situation from you. You created this, but let's actually get to a little bit more of the meaning. I'm glad Cam posted that as well.
I also just found out that apparently the athlete in question here, I'm calling him a kid, but like class of 2022 when it comes to college recruiting. So this is someone we're talking about in like the 16, 17, 18 year old range. We're in this spot now. You can understand why Cam was a little ready to go back in this situation more than it would have been had this been a younger instance. So again, it's just a reminder, like, being disrespectful to anyone in any location is probably not the way to operate, let alone when someone has come back to try and help out where you're at and has been to the places that you want to be at that spot and can be an asset in those instances. So plenty of teachable moments from the video we got. Shenanigans in the highest order. But we're seeing that. We're seeing people go on video. And this is, again, a low-stakes example. This kid is going to have to be able to go on and have plenty of life after this and not have this follow him like a scarlet letter. But coming up next, we'll get to people that acquitted themselves far worse on a video in an instance that has now cost that person their job. We'll get to that next. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
All right, so the Brooklyn Nets went 5-0 on their West Coast road trip. So we have to go to our top dog to break it all down, Mina Kimes, in about 10 minutes. But before then, Mina really told us that the reason she chose Brooklyn as a team to root for is because Seattle doesn't have an NBA team. And today there's a lot going on with one of their franchises in Seattle. Now, we are Janae Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogwumike and Mike Golic Jr. And after we wrap this segment, some of you in our lovely Janae Golic Jr. family are going to listen to Duke versus Syracuse here on ESPN Radio. But some of you will keep listening to us, rocking with us. But just in case you miss us, you can just check us out on the ESPN Plus, you know, on the app, you know, everywhere you guys listen. Traditionally, you can find us there especially. But, you know, as you heard at the top of the hour when it came to the SportsCenter update, I want to stick with Seattle because the Seattle Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mather resigned, you know, today after comments he made to a Rotary Club call, pretty much a Zoom call earlier this month, surfaced and received widespread backlash. Where on this call, he, and I'll list this, and Jeff Passan has the article on .com, he disparaged a Japanese player for not learning English, belittled a star prospect from the Dominican Republic for his language skills, and derided another top prospect while admitting to manipulating his service time. He called his team's best pitcher, quote, very boring, and embellished the pitcher's actions in a clubhouse incident, told another falsehood about a well-respected veteran, and complained that the franchise's best player over the past decade was overpaid. And I read a lot of the transcripts of what Kevin Mathers, the now former CEO of the Seattle Mariners, said. And I was shocked because it seemed like, you know, the tone, and I was not privy to watching the Zoom call, but the tone was just pretty matter of fact, in which he talked about athletes in a way that it was not necessarily they were human beings, but more like items that they're just trying to balance a checkbook, and how their cultural, home, personal situations, their backgrounds sort of affected him being able to make money or not. And how, you know, and it just was quite bizarre. And so now we now know that they have parted ways with the president and CEO, Kevin Mather. So Junior, you know, on one hand, I'm extremely grateful that these things come to light so you can address them head on. But I feel like this just highlights the underlying challenges of trying to create these workplaces, these cultures that actually care about the individuals. And this is exactly what athletes keep preaching. Keep the same energy that we are, the standards that we are held to on the field, on the court, you know, no matter what your platform is, keep that same energy with every aspect in the front office, because this was unearthed and it was quite, you know, disheartening to hear that this was the perspective of one of the leaders in that organization.
The toughest part about all of it is, in this instance, we got to know. In a lot of instances, we don't. Like, I saw they clipped some of the video from this Zoom call and put the clips out there. And man, this looked like a dude that was so comfortable and so excited to be able to get this stuff off his chest in that setting. And like, clearly thought, like a lot of people have, and we've seen plenty of instances. We talk about it today. People saying and doing things on video that they don't think are going to have consequences. And so Kevin Mather clearly felt comfortable enough to go out here and get all this stuff off his chest that for the vast majority of the time, decorum dictates you don't talk about in public. Because in what line of work is slandering the people that work for you good business? And so for whatever reason, he felt like this was a safe space for that in a way that I can't make sense of in the year 2021. But it's helpful for Seattle because they get to carve him out. But today, it just makes you think about how many organizations have to deal with this behind closed doors where it doesn't get out in a way that we can carve out and help improve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of our listeners, Jimmy Comfort, brought up a good idea about how, like, okay, this isn't just rooting the problem and it's out and it's done with. It's almost like, all right, who has sort of enabled maybe this comfortability to be able to speak about these issues publicly? You know, even if it was like not a Zoom that we were all privy and exposed to, you had to know that people could talk about what you said or that there's video out there that potentially could have gone viral and got clipped. All right, what happens, like you said, behind closed doors? And that to me is the scariest part. Who is a part of enabling that behavior and who is not? And I hope that that investigation or at least the accountability happens internally with the Mariners to be able to figure out, all right, this is exactly where he stood. Who else is in alignment? Because we need to fix that as well. Well,
Janae, he's the one who enabled that. Like, he's the CEO and president. It starts with him. And so that's what we talk about all the time with hiring in these leagues. When we talk about the difficulty getting minority candidates hired in the NFL, it's because we always say at the end of the day, you can't have enough policy to change how people feel. And in this instance, we just got to hear it directly from someone there. So again, Seattle Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mathers resigns after those comments. But where do we go from here on that? What work is there left to do for the Mariners? And we check in with the foremost Nets fan at the worldwide leader. That's next. It's Janae Angle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And you can catch us now on ESPN Plus.
Janae Angle Jr., the podcast.
We've had the dunk of the year, twice by the same guy. Now, do points matter when you can dunk like that? We will get to the bottom of that as we keep that same energy in a few minutes. It's Janae Angle Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Janae Ogumike and Mike Golick Jr. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And we're going straight there because I've got some breaking news. We're delighted right now to be joined on the Goodyear Hotline by Mina Kimes, our own ESPN NFL analyst, one of the co-hosts of NFL Live, joining us, and also Brooklyn Nets correspondent, at least Janae Golick Jr.'s, as she has joined the Nets bandwagon. And I've got breaking news for both of you, GJ Jr., Golick Jr., and Mina Kimes. Breaking news! The Eastern Conference Player of the Week this week is James Harden. James Harden.
Yes. Love to hear it. Well deserved.
So I love this.
Could
Mina,
be an MVP conversation. Oh, but
that was my question.
America's not ready for that.
Mina, okay. Thank you. I've been saying this since we started the show, that why are people not jumping all over the odds for his MVP candidacy right now based on what we've seen with Kevin Durant out of the lineup, Mina?
Because haters going to hate. There's really no other explanation. I mean, have you seen what this man has been doing? And some people have been trying to give me credit for the success they've had on their West Coast trip. I don't want the credit. I appreciate it. I understand it. Thank you for people who are recognizing the splits before and after I joined the Nets bandwagon.
Yep.
It's appreciated. But what Harden is doing, not just as a scorer, but as a passer, a playmaker, it's remarkable. He's really elevated the play of everyone around him. And also, you know, their defense has been looking a little bit better. I'm not going to make, you know, a big deal about it, but it's looked competent. I think that's a fair adjective. So,
yes.
James Harden deserves, I'm not saying he's not surpassed Embiid and LeBron, but he just belongs in the conversation.
Janae Angle Jr. talking to noted Nets fan, Mina Kimes, who is definitely not Mets fan, on the Goodyear Hotline right now. And we'll get to plenty of the things going on in the NFL in just a second. But I did ask this question, Mina, and part of your coming to the Nets in the way that you did, I think is interesting way to view this. Are they true villains in the NBA? Because a lot of people bring them up in the way we brought up the Miami Heat Big Three, the Golden State Warriors in their turn in this. But do you think this Nets team is viewed in the same light right now?
Yeah, I do. I think that perception is negative and by folks other than myself and Brooklyn Nets fans. And a lot of it has to do with Well, you know, like public sentiment around Kyrie has always been complicated. Durant as well, post Warriors. But the way James Harden left Houston, I think, is really. I mean, frankly, you started off by asking me why isn't he in the MVP conversation. That's why. It's because of how he left Houston. And I don't think it's entirely setting aside, taking off my super fan cap for a minute. I don't think it's entirely unfair to disregard that portion of the season and what he did, or more accurately, what he did not do in Houston. So I think it's going to take a lot for him to overcome that. But, you know, a championship, that'll do a lot to overcome it.
Jhené Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr., Amina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, noted Brooklyn Nets fan here with us on the Goodyear Hotline on ESPN Radio. And the reason why you have really come to the Brooklyn Nets is because Seattle does not have an NBA team.
Yeah.
Bring back the Supersonics. But we know your city, based on your traditional fandom of Seattle, is mired in a little bit of controversy that they sort of resolved today as Seattle Mariners president and CEO Kevin Mather resigned today, Monday, after he made comments to the Rotary Club earlier this month that had a lot of, I guess you can say, racially charged undertones, derogatory ways he spoke about, you know, the players involved in the club. And so what did you take away when you found out about that story as reported by Jeff Passan?
Mm. Well, so like the original comments he made that were leaked, I mean, he made them in a public setting. So it's like doubly bananas that he said it, but it was an insight, and of course, into what he thinks, because he was comfortable enough to say it. And he managed to insult just about everyone associated with the organization. You know, players needing translators, guys who they were, you know, was openly talking about manipulating service time to avoid paying their young talented players, which, by the way, is something a lot of teams do, and always deserves criticism. And then, you know, calling stalwart players, pillars of the franchise, overpaid. It was a disaster on multiple fronts. And I think my biggest reaction, Jhené, aside from the fact that, you know, he resigned, is one, this is really telling of a culture that's probably existed in this organization for a while. This is a guy, Kevin Mather, who was, you know, accused of sexual harassment years ago and stuck with his job and has managed to hang on to it despite then. And then secondarily, beyond the Mariners, I know for a fact there's a lot of other people in baseball who harbor these beliefs, certainly about the service time. And it's, I think, indicative of just kind of how far the sport, and this isn't unique to baseball, has to overcome in terms of kind of transitioning to the next generation, and then that's not just an age thing, but the next group of people who are actually overseeing this sport, because they've got to be better than this.
And certainly that is, this is a low bar to clear, and yet time and time again we see people tripping over it, as you mentioned, in very public settings, making these statements with utter comfort in a way that is hard to really fathom. Mina Kimes with us here again. You can catch her on NFL Live every day. Also, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, wherever you get your podcasts. And I enjoyed that while Mina is giving us a very heartfelt answer on that subject, Lenny was making sure that his voice was also heard in the background on there, because he is a hero and he is a very good friend of this show. Mina, we also know that you are a big fan of talking about quarterbacks and football. So why don't we do some of that? Because I've been amazed at the conversation going on around Trevor Lawrence and people trying to poke holes in his resume. But we are going to rise above that here. And instead, I'm going to ask you, in this quarterback class that we have coming up right now, we hear the Zach Wilsons, the Justin Fields, and Trevor Lawrence talked about. But who in your mind is the most interesting prospect as we start to get down deeper and deeper into this class as far as where they're going to end up? And why?
Well, I think Trey Lance is fascinating, because I think Wilson and Fields are going to go in the top five. And if they don't, I could be totally wrong, but they should. And I firmly believe that both of them should, based on what I've seen. But Lance, you could really make a case for him being drafted at all over the first round, frankly, because he is that bet on traits. You know, he has an incredible arm. He's incredibly fast. He's incredibly strong. He's like, you know, if you were to build a quarterback in a lab, he would have all the qualities that Trey Lance has. But we have not seen him play very much football. In fact, he only played one game this year, and it was really poor. And then when he did play football the year before, it wasn't exactly against top-tier competition at North Dakota State. So he's a big question mark. And we've seen a couple of those quarterbacks get drafted early. And you can look at Carson Wentz or more recently Josh Allen, and they've gone in opposite directions. And you can, I imagine you're going to have teams who are taking very different lessons from that. Can we take a quarterback like Trey Lance and turn him into the next Josh Allen, or might he go down the same path as Carson Wentz? I don't know. Situation is everything. But I think he's the kind of quarterback where, like, some teams are going to think, no way, he shouldn't even be in the first round, and then other teams will view him as a top five quarterback.
It's going to be amazing to watch all of those swings as we get to that point in the draft. Him and Mac Jones, it's kind of going to be a what flavor of ice cream do you like in this spot, and what structure is your team going to be able to put around a player like this. Check out NFL Live, 4 o'clock Eastern every day here on ESPN. Download the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny wherever you get your podcast. Mina, we appreciate the time. Enjoy Nets run
here. Thanks, guys. Hashtag Harden MVP.
Mina Kimes leading the charge. I'm glad someone else echoed the MVP sentiments here, even if it is caked in Mina's very recent rise to Nets fandom.
You're a strange human being. I mean, Harden MVP, Steph Curry can't carry a team. I mean, I'm just abbreviating that sentiment, but you're interesting. You're an interesting fella.
Listen, we got to keep it interesting. We got 3 hours of radio to do every day. Come on, we're in the take game right now. All right?
I'm getting better with my takes.
Listen, very much so. I have been very proud, Chinee, of the strides that you have made. Because, again, Chinee Agumake is a current WNBA player. She is measured. She is intelligent. She is an incredible analyst around here. But every once in a while, you got to come swim in the gutter with us. Cliff knows all about that. Cliff has been helping coach us up here.
Remember, I had to stop her that one day, and I was like, yo, Chinee, we need you to stop waffling. I need some hard, hot takes from you, so let's go.
You're right, and I've delivered ever since, Cliff. Yeah.
You've been delivering since day one. How about that?
How about
right now, how about this? Damian Lillard, MVP hand. No, I'm just kidding. We're not doing it.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm 100%. Go to break.
I mean, Chinee, he's been playing outstanding basketball. People don't talk enough about
30
him.
30 points a game.
Look, like,
I mean, some people are saying he's playing better
Lillard
than Steph.
For MVP, you heard it here first from Mike Golick Jr.
Let's go!
You didn't hear me where I said Mike Golick Jr. That was your take. I was just echoing your
sentence. You know what? Look, fine. I'll stand with Damian Lillard any day, mostly because I'm trying to stay off a diss track. Reminder, tune in tonight for college basketball doubleheader as Duke hosts Syracuse, followed by Texas Tech at Oklahoma State. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. If you're listening to us right now, you're probably not getting that. You can also listen to us on the ESPN app. Watch us on ESPN Plus. And for anyone that still has us, you're going to go to coverage of that starting at 7 o'clock. But coming up next, I have an entirely new way that I want to do quarterback tiers around here. We love ranking them every offseason. We'll get to the only metric that matters, and we'll do it next. Chinee and Golick Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golick Jr., the podcast.
I'm so glad I didn't sing that because I was going to mess that up. Now, we may not have the hottest takes, but we are the hottest show on ESPN Radio. We are the secret sauce of the lineup. We are Chinee and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golick Jr. holding it down. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, it is Monday, and we hope that we provided a little bit of motivation that you needed, because when the show started, I'm not going to lie, your girl was tired. Like, I had a weekend.
You care to expand on that, or are we going to have to wait until first take her take to hear about that weekend?
Okay, don't come with your shade. I had a weekend, let's just say that. And what happened was I decided all Sunday to like hibernate to get myself ready for the week. And so I kid you not, I probably slept 18 maybe or 20 of the 24 hours of the day, and I am hurting today. So I don't get it. I don't understand it. But one thing I want to do today on Monday, as I sort of have found my energy, albeit too late. What, Junior? What do you want to say?
I'm just saying, I can be very frank. The reason that I have been struggling the same way is that I decided to have a few drinks on Saturday, and I do not recover the same way. And so north of 30, the two-day hangover starts to become a thing. And so I feel like, in full transparency here, I've got to just be myself and lie prostrate in front of our audience and understand this is who I am, and this is what happens. I am experienced getting older in real time.
I'm proud of you. And let me just say, I might be right there where you have been this weekend.
We are hurting.
Y'all, before we get to keep that same energy, I just want to say that, like, I definitely sent Junior a text like, hey, bro, help me. Now, we want to thank everyone that joined us today on our show, Chanae and Golic Jr., David Jacoby of Jalen and Jacoby, as you guys watch on ESPN, who broke down the Brooklyn Nets after going 5-0 on the road trip, taking down the Clippers last night. Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, and I definitely said it way better than...
Oh, my God. You mean way better than when you tried to say it back in the day?
Broke down, you know, basically the implications after Adrian Wojnarowski... Whoa. Yeah, our NBA insider. And make sure you check out the Woj Pod with Carmelo Anthony on the latest edition, who came on and broke down the hire of Chris Finch that sort of was so quick that a lot of people were talking, heads were spinning. The Raptors assistant now taking over the helm of the Minnesota Timberwolves. And last but not least, our friend Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, co-host of NFL Live, Brooklyn Nets fan, who also gave meaningful explanations on the situation that the Seattle Mariners found themselves in today as their CEO and president, Kevin Mathers, has resigned, which sort of points to the direction the next generation has to address when it comes to building that workplace that makes sense for everyone. And so that's everything. It's Monday, we made it. I'm trying not to spill my tea, so why don't we, until I spill my tea, let's just keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Okay, you know, I can't help myself. So the only thing I will say about this past weekend was, like, I felt like I was in an episode of Real Housewives, like, where you have, like, something planned, and then all of a sudden it changes, and then there's drama. But we survived.
Well, I am looking forward to this building momentum again. First take her take. Janae Agumake, Charlie Arnold, Kimberly
Martin.
I am
not speaking on it.
Wherever you download your podcast, every Wednesday, I know that our friend Kimberly Martin, our great NFL reporter, is going to get this out of Janae in that spot. But keeping that same energy, Janae, we got to go back and revisit something from this weekend because you mentioned Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
If you didn't see the dunk from this weekend, just type Anthony Edwards' name into the Google machine and go check this out because this man brought the thunder in that moment. And in that moment, Janae, we went to the internet to all collectively ooh and ah at something that we should all appreciate in athletics, watching people do things that we could never think were possible in reality. And yet people had the audacity to say that it still only counts 2 points and we should be worried about the fact that he scored 7 points in that game and they're a bad basketball team. I don't get it, Janae. I don't get it.
People that have that opinion, can you do what he just did? Because if not, I need you to sit down. Like, take it, tone it down a little bit. Because guess what? He's on a Minnesota team that is the worst record, unfortunately, in the league. And so as long as he produces these moments, he's doing his job. I don't know how many of y'all that are going to go to League Pass and watch every second of the game and try to track his points. But as long as you like those clips of him dunking, like, keep that same energy. Look at what you're... Oh, gosh. That's salty.
I'm telling you, we have no tolerance for haters around here, Janae. I said this earlier today on Highly Questionable. It's like Game of Thrones. You can watch for the plot. You can watch for the acting, the power dynamics. At the end of the day, we talk about the Battle of Blackwater Bay. We talk about dragons on that show and the Night King because we're here to be impressed by really cool bleep.
Thank you.
End of rant.
Precisely.
Keeping that same energy, though, Janae, I want to only rank quarterbacks going forward on if we change teams, would they get to keep their number? Because Carson Wentz is heading to the Indianapolis Colts, and we saw the news earlier today that wide receiver Michael Pittman, who wore number 11 as a rookie in 2020, the number 11 Carson wore at North Dakota State, the number he wore in Philadelphia, when asked if he plans on giving it up, said, no, I am number 11. I don't think there's any deal going on. I spoke to Carson. He was seeing how locked in I was to number 11, and I told him I was locked in, and he was like, that's cool, bro, because I'm probably going to switch anyway. Janae, that sounds all well and good, and I'm glad they're playing nice, but we need to judge quarterbacks now based on this and this alone.
Literally, if someone came to me, I don't care if it was my if it was my sister, I'd give her the number.
Aww.
But there are a few people that would actually make me change it. I don't blame you, Michael Pittman. Prove yourself, son.
You're coming over here into my dojo.
Thank you.
He was here producing last season.
Yes.
And now you're going to understand how that goes. So we'll see what number Carson Wentz is going to rock with his future in Indianapolis, but it's not going to be 11. We're going to get out of here before we spill any more tea on ourselves. Most of you are going to get Duke and Syracuse now here on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.